This episode is brought to you by Kind. Kind makes delicious, healthy snacks using whole ingredients. My new favorite is the almond butter bar. Mmm. We got a special offer for you. You can try 20 Kind snacks with their new snack pack. Enjoy 50% off and free shipping on your first snack pack when you subscribe to it through the Snack Club. This is Kind's monthly snack subscription service. Go to kindsnacks.com/Scott, S-C-O-T-T. That's kindsnacks.com/Scott and learn more and subscribe to the snack pack.
Coming up on TMS, my dog's not that scary.
You can't take pictures here.
Girl interrupted. Oh. I don't know. Fries are done, everybody.
We just accomplished something.
Yeah.
You're it.
I was just making a sandwich, officer.
Go to the next one. Yeah. Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Today, consumers are looking for lighter, more refreshing beverages. They're looking for variety, looking for change. Our customers are looking for a product mix that will add to beverage sales and bring traffic to their stores.
Speak in a friendly, outgoing way.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
We can't date. You're too oily. This is The Morning Stream.
Everybody, welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is Tuesday, June 26th, 2018. Scott Johnson here with Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Scott Johnson.
It feels like it's Tuesday too soon, yar.
Oh, you know what? Not for me. I was more exhausted than I realized yesterday.
Yeah, it'll catch up to you if you're not feeling it right away, right?
Totally, yeah. I mean, I took a nap halfway through the day. I swear to God, I had a Mandela effect moment when I wrote a tweet about Cyndi Lauper, who I know good and well is from New York. You can't hear that woman talk. You can't watch as much MTV as I did in the 80s and not know Cyndi Lauper is from New York. Yeah. But for some reason, I always thought she spelled the name of that song, True Colors, with a U, like the UK spelling.
Oh, interesting.
And this, I have no idea why I thought that. I think I thought that because I'm also a big fan of Split Enz and Level 42, both, one UK artist, one New Zealand artist, who both spell it with a U. And for some reason, I have all this True Colors stuff in my library that's got a U in it. So hold on,
Level 42. Two. There's something about you, baby. Man, that song is burned into me.
Great bass work by Mark King.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Who else? Yeah. Who else you got there? Anybody else I'd know?
Oh, in Level 42?
Sure.
Phil Lindup?
Yeah.
No, Mike Lindup. Phil Gould and Boone Gould, they were brothers. Boone Gould left the band because he had a nervous breakdown.
Boone Gould?
Boone Gould. B-O-O-N.
That's a crazy name.
G-O-U-L-D, Boone Gould.
Yeah, Boone Gould.
And I can't remember if there were any other people in that band. I just remember.
Sounds like an evil.
Just remember those four. And I think remembering four people from Level 42 is a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, there's only 40 more you have to remember. That's fine.
Exactly.
Well, hey, it's good to be back, everybody. Hello and welcome. A couple things before we get to. Yesterday I bumped the Battle Bowl Royale because of time, and I didn't realize that Dunaway had a meeting today. So there's no Dunaway today, but we will have a Battle Royale. So get your trivia chops ready, everybody, because one of you is going to call in, and then you're going to take me on. You're going to take on me. Take on me. Yep, you're going to take me on, and that's going to happen today for Battle Royale. So that's all good.
Powell Wackatar, Morton Harkett.
Yeah.
And one other guy.
One other guy.
If we're still on the whole subject of name people from this band.
Yes.
I got two out of the three ahars.
All this is true. Write this number down, though. 801-471-0462. Genie has
these are things, by the way, that won't be in the Battle Royale. You will never have to name the members of AHA or Level 42.
Oh, it's too bad because they're great bands. They're great. They have at least one or two songs that we all know. And that's about it.
Oh, I never said you won't have to name songs by those bands. You just won't have to name the members of those bands.
Oh, good. Good. Because I really only
name all the
one.
Members of Kaja Gugu. Limahl. That's it. That's all I can think of.
Too many. Actually, you already know one more than I knew. So good job.
Oh, did I forget? Magna Fernholm. Thank you, John F. 1968. There's no way, based on the spacing in your message in the chat room. There's no way you copied and pasted that from Wikipedia.
No way he did. I'm sure he did not go and copy and paste and use the internet to his advantage. Hey, so I was walking the dog. I got a good dog story to tell you.
Sure.
These happen once in a while. I walk her every day. So people are always like, man, it seems like every time you take the dog for a walk, something crazy happens. No, it's like rare because I take her all the time. And every once in a while, something weird will happen. Today, one of those days. Now, Brian, do you remember some years ago I told you about a little kid who saw us and then went screaming into their house or to their mother?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I totally remember that.
All right. So this was similar to that, except it was a different kid in a totally different area of the neighborhood. Walking down the street with the dog. There's a kid out there playing. It's summer, you know. Kids are out of school, up early, out there, frolicking around, throwing shit. You know, what you do when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
especially in the summer.
Yeah. Especially in the summer. And this kid was outside goofing off. He was probably 6, 7, something in that range. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But young. And I'm walking the dog and I'm thinking, all right, this will be fine. Kids on the side of the street we're on. Now, if he had a dog or was a dog loose or something, I would probably go across the street just to avoid, you know, Rainer losing her mind and all that.
Yeah.
But instead, I just kind of thought, well, I'll just keep going. This kid went from playing with, I don't know, he had some toys and some stuff there, to stopping and looking at me and then kind of playing with his toys still, but then stopping altogether and just staring at me as I got closer. And then as I got closer, he stood up and just looked at me kind of like one of the kids in the hallway in like the Shining or something, just staring at me.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it, I mean, I'm sure the kid was just seeing this dog and this, you know, big guy with sunglasses on, and the whole thing just gave him a complete panic meltdown because I took another couple of steps and here's what I hear. I'm going to try to do this without blowing my microphone out. Or I'm going to back
up.
Oh, God.
All right.
Here's what I hear. Ah! Like that. That actually hurt to do that.
High-pitched wail. Oh,
high-pitched,
my God. Okay.
Scream, like going to break a glass. You know, so piercing and loud that I'm sure that this was heard for all over the place. Now, of course, my reaction's like, oh, don't do that. That's bad. People are going to think I'm out here doing something weird. Like, I don't need this in my life. So I'm just like, oh, geez, we got to, you know, so I'm trying to kind of hustle. And this kid turns around and bolts, screaming that same way between breaths, just screaming his lungs out. As he runs all the way down the street, cuts around the corner, and then disappears, and the screaming ends. I assume he got into his house. I don't get it, dude. My dog's not that big. She's black and small. She's
frightening.
She's
like a little.
She's this big. She's this wide.
Like a little hound doom is what that dog is. What your dog is.
She's half Minpin, half Italian Greyhound, and she's just a skinny little twerp. She's nothing big or scary. I don't understand the reaction.
The poor kid just has some sort of PTSD with some dog in his little short life that
I guess so. And some of the chat saying, well, it's you, Scott. Well, I mean, I'm just in this, my non-assuming. I had a pink t-shirt on that said mm-hmm. Nerdtacular on it. I had shorts, shoes.
I don't think you were. I would guess that he was. There was something about the dog, but I think it was the they just had like some sort of, maybe he had a nightmare once about a dog that looked a lot like Rainer, and this is just coming back out.
That had to be it. I don't know. I have no other explanation for it, but it bothered me and it made me feel weird, and I turned around and went the other way.
Obviously, the control experiment is to see if he's out there someday, and then just walk by with him like you're jogging or walking or whatever without the dog and see how he reacts.
Maybe that might be an idea if I see him again. Also, I mean, the only thing I can think of is wearing these really brightly colored green Reeboks, these shoes. They almost look like they're on fire. They're so bright.
Oh, yeah, that must have been it,
yeah,
Scott.
That's
sure
what
it
was.
The shoes.
Kids got a PTSD problem with bright neon green. Oh, hi, honey. Sorry, my wife just walked in. Anyway, so that was a thing, and it was real fun. And
it must be the shoes.
What'd you bring me? Leftover breakfast? From where did you guys go? Oh, that's fantastic. She brought me avocado toast, bacon, and some sort of egg unit.
Egg unit.
Is that what that is? Yes. That's fantastic. Thank you, dear. Where'd you guys go? Where was it?
Wasatch Grind
and Pulp. That nice. Sounds dirty. It sounds like a porno place or something.
Grinding pulp.
Yeah, I told them all about Prohibition.
Two girls, one grinding pulp.
Yeah, two girls. Do not look that video up. It's not good. Anyway, so that's how that went. Real good time. How's your grandma doing? Have you checked in? How are things?
She's good. I went and visited her yesterday.
Yeah.
And they've moved her out of the ICU, so she's in a regular room. And it's funny. I mean, she's got still some cognitive issues. She'll every once in a while start talking and speaking in Hungarian, which people may not know is her native language. She was born in Hungary. My mom was born in Hungary. I was the first of both sides of my family to be born in the U.S.
Brian was born hungry.
I was not born hungry anymore. So she'll slip into Hungarian every once in a while, or she will she'll like be in the middle of a sentence and throw in a few Hungarian words. It's interesting. But she first started making some comments. Tina wasn't with me, but she's like, Tina sure is pretty now. Prettier now than she used to be, or something like that. Like, well, I've always thought she was pretty, and I know what she was trying to say. She was trying to like say that she really likes Tina with short hair.
Sure, but she doesn't. It's hard to form the words when you got that when that happens.
The filter, I think the stroke might have reduced the effectiveness of the filter of the grandma filter.
Yeah, that may end up hanging around, which is sometimes fun. So. It can kind of be a good time if you.
Yeah, well, it was kind of a good time. So. One minute, she's talking about that. And I said, Tina's always been pretty to me. And I think whatever her hair looks like, she's always pretty. And like, well, yes, of course. Right. I'm not doing the right accent. It should be more, Hungarian. But, and then a nurse comes in to introduce herself, says, hi, my name is Taylor. I'm going to be your nurse for the next 6 hours. So if there's anything you need, just call me, but I'm going to come and take your vitals right now. Mm. And she's young, looks like, she looks like she's like 19, fresh out of, high school, let alone medical school.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes in and I'm sure she's, in her early 20s, but she's taken my grandmother's vitals, blood pressure, and puts the little thing on her finger to get her heartbeat and stuff. And then she walks over to the whiteboard to start writing some of those things down, also put her name and her phone number on there, or her call number on there, so that if my grandmother needs her, she knows just to push the little red button.
Yeah.
And while she's over there, my grandmother says, she's very pretty. Don't you think she's pretty, Brian? Like, yes. And if you keep embarrassing her, she's not going to come in and take your vitals anymore.
Yeah. Nah, she'll come in and go, yeah, you look the same, and then leave.
I'm trying to defuse the situation. Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. No, this is when they drop those screens, it can be, at first it can be shocking and weird, but you can have some fun with it. Like, in other words, it doesn't have, if she ends up never quite getting back that kind of filter that you're talking about, it won't be the end of the world, because there'll be some really funny stuff going on.
Oh, it'll be some, and there was even one yesterday. We're sitting there, I don't even know what we were watching. We were watching Say Yes to the Dress or something like that. She was watching I didn't know that Harry Connick Jr. still had a talk show, but apparently he does in the middle of the day too.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a thing?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's a thing.
He just sang music and made records and crooner stuff. That was cool.
Yeah, apparently he, he has to have somebody on to, here's some healthy ways you can get some cooking, y'all. And
great.
And we're going to interview a 13-year-old kid who climbed Mount Kilimanjaro, y'all.
You know what? It's so weird. I never watch daytime TV either, so whenever I do accidentally see some of it, I'm always shocked at what's going on. Like, what? So-and-so has a show? What is this?
I always assumed daytime TV was nothing but court shows, like reality. Yeah. Reality court shows,
and a lot of them are no question. There's a ton of those, but there's still a few soaps, I guess, and all that. But it's just such a different animal now, and I haven't seen that stuff for I don't know how long. So it'd be like, check into the hotel. It's 2 p.m. I'm going to just sit here for a minute. What's on TV? Nothing but infomercials, court reality crap, and then finding out that somebody who used to sing music is now a show host.
Now a talk show.
Really weird.
Yeah. Anyway. So in the middle of this. Whatever, I don't know, whatever triggered her, but it was like completely out of nowhere. She says, I'm just so mad at those damn football players who are kneeling during the national anthem. Like, really, just out of nowhere? Like, well, I said, they obviously weren't feeling like their voice was being heard otherwise, and this was a very public way for them to get their point across. I don't know if I agree with it, but I do understand it, and I do respect it that that's the way they they wanted to get that message across.
Right.
Well, but they make so much money. We give them so much money. If they don't like it here, they can just go to hell. She's yelling this. It's like, okay, well, let's maybe watch some more of this Say Yes to the Dress thing and see what, you know, what this woman's going to do with her new $13,000 wedding dress. Like, just trying to like distract or diffuse this. I don't know where it's going. It's like, I don't know where it came from, and I don't know what the whole point was, but boy, was she angry about those football players because somebody told her to be angry about those football players.
Well, when I get my stroke, what I'm hoping happens is I hope it just cracks open whatever weird egg I got hidden in me. I want it to be end up being my kids going, oh my gosh, did you see what Dad said? Like, I want it to be crazy. Because if you're going to have a stroke.
He's getting names right. He's getting foreign names.
He knew Chester was a cheetah? I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why that's interesting to me, but if I'm going to have one, okay. Let's say medical destiny for me is I just going to have one of those, then I want to make sure I'm as nutty as possible. I want it to come out. I want no filter. I want to say things that embarrass everybody at Thanksgiving. I want to be that weird old guy in the corner. That will just suddenly.
An anesthesiologist is really pretty.
Yeah, dude.
I could have gotten a date with her if I wasn't married.
Yeah, I won't have to say those things under the influence of drugs. I will say them naturally.
It just be completely natural.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that. All right, not really. Yeah. I don't want a stroke, but I'm just saying, if I had one, let's make sure it's good and weird. Well, that's good. I'm glad she's getting the good help she needs and that she's recovering. And did they give her kind of a prognosis that she should be fine long term, or what do they say?
No, they said, well, sometimes this stuff can come back right away. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it doesn't come back. And she's, I mean, I feel like she's like 90% there. It's some numbers and cognitive issues. Strokes are so weird how they rewire you, but still having some issues with numbers and dates and times and things like that. Other than that, I mean, she's, you know, we were talking about trips that we made to Glenwood Springs, Colorado back when I was like 8 years old and stuff like that. So a lot of memory coming back without any problem.
And is she normally that sharp? Like she'll,
she is. Okay. Yeah. She is normally that sharp. Yeah.
So she's probably going to do okay. Let's hope so. Well, you're good. Yep. You're a good grandson for showing up there. So that makes you first. Hold on. Mom's side or dad's side?
Mom's side.
So this makes you first generation. How does that work?
Yeah, so basically both my mom was born in Hungary. My dad was born in the UK.
Yeah.
And so
you're first generation American.
First generation American on both sides, yeah.
Dude, you're almost like a refugee. You need to.
I'm a dreamer.
Yeah, you need to get out of here. You dirty refugee.
Stuck me in a wall.
Get in a fence cage, you turd.
Right. Exactly.
Well, anyway, I think it's time for us to.
Podcasting dreamer is what I am, Scott.
You really are. I believe this is all true. We're going to play a little game, folks. It's called Babel Royale. It does normally include our good friend. Jimmy John, what's his name? Brian Dunaway. Having a stroke. No.
The stroke will help with that too, I think.
I smell toast. Oh, did she say anything about like toast smelling or anything like that? Was that a thing?
No, never said anything about it. At least, I guess that would have been Friday morning. If she would have, it would have been Friday morning before any of us talked to her. So.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm curious about that because you always hear that, but then I never hear actual stroke victims tell me this. Mm-hmm. I want one of them to say, oh, yeah, I did. In fact, it was whole wheat with a little bit of a rye flavor to it. Maybe a little butter on that toast. Like, I want to know what. Give me some specifics.
You want to know what kind of toast you should be looking for the smell.
Yeah.
Like, what, if you're smelling Wonder Bread toast, oh, no, that's not it. That won't do it. But it's, you know, if it's pumpernickel, oh, that you're in trouble now. It's pumpernickel.
Oh, pumpernickel. Stay out of the pumpernickel. All right. It's, I don't really hate pumpernickel, by the way. You like pumpernickel? Ugh.
Candy. Only a pumpernickel.
Yeah,
so what number is it? Because I see here
801-471-0462.
Okay, that's a whole different number than the one you've got here next to the words Babel Royale.
Oh, I just never updated it.
Update that because I've been making the mistake in telling people it's that number.
Yeah.
Sorry, ignore me. Yeah. Don't look at the number that I've been posting.
Ignore Brian. Pay attention to Jeannie. 801.
Look at the number Jeannie's posting because she
she is on it.
Knows this show better than I do.
Yes. I'm going to replace it right now, though. Boink. And that's the new number. We are awaiting your call. Give us a call. That is 801-471-0462. I thought I saw someone blip and then they went away. So if I missed you, I apologize. If you get my voicemail, just call again and we'll get you in here and make this happen. Oh, I think we might have one. Let's answer this call.
Okay.
Let's see who we got. Hold on just a second. Okay. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
This is Fred from Howell, Michigan.
Fred from Michigan. Fantastic. Hello, Fred. Well, Fred, you sound like a reasonable opponent for me to go up against today in Babel Royale.
How well do you know things, Fred? Yeah, Are you good with knowing things?
Do you know things?
I know things.
Okay.
Small things. Good.
Small things. All right. We'll take it. That's a hot new series on Netflix. All right. Here's this. Yep. All right. It's time for us to play a little Babel Royale. Brian Ibbett, you want to explain these rules and tell Fred how he could win?
That's right. That's right, Scott. I'm going to give Scott and Fred a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, a repeated answer, or they take too long to come up with an answer, the win will go to the other player. Fred, your job is to win. You don't have to pick the winner. You have to be the winner. Today, you are playing for a prize pack that includes Plague Inc. Evolved, Bastion. It might be Bastion or Bazian. I think it's supposed to be Bastion.
Bastion.
It's a typo.
Yeah.
And Fez, all three games on Steam, courtesy of Tanner Goodman. Also, do you by chance have EA FIFA 18 on either Xbox or PS1?
Yeah. Or PS4, no, Xbox One.
I'm sorry, PS1. PS1. What did I say?
You said PS1.
Xbox 4, PS1.
Yeah, you did.
Do you have an Xbox 4, first of all? If you do, I'd like to see that.
If not, the original PlayStation 1 will do. Do you have that game on either of the current console platforms?
I do not. I'm not a console gamer. PC only.
Dude, I'm with you all the way. That's totally fine.
So this prize came to us from Robert Monty. And the Babel Royale topic I'm using today came to us from Jamie TMS Mashups. He says, hey, since I've already won a prize, go ahead and give a prize to the listeners. So if there's a listener out there who's got FIFA 18 on the PS4 or the Xbox One, those are the right consoles. Send me a, I guess send me a message in chat and you'll get a prize courtesy of Jamie from TMS Mashups.
There you go. I like it. For the record, FIFA 18 will not play on the PlayStation 1. That's just not going to work.
No, I don't think it will. No.
These things did not exist at the same time.
You can put a disc in there. Ain't going to run. All right.
I'm smelling sourdough. Should I be smelling sourdough toast?
Yeah, that's normal. That's normal. You'll be fine. All right. What's our topic? How's it work?
All right. Your topic today. Now, Jamie had such a great time listening to you stumble off the starting line for the Canadian provinces.
Mm. Great.
That he decided he'd really test your mettle with U.S. state capitals.
Oh,
how many of the 50 U.S. state capitals can you name? And I think for ease, we're going to start with Fred. Fred, you get to give first pick.
Sure.
And let's see how many of the state capitals you can come up with.
All right. Let's see. We'll go with Lansing, Michigan.
I think that's a really good one to start with, seeing as it's right there.
Yep.
Course, yes. Of course, that is the correct answer. Lansing, capital of Michigan. Scott, over to you.
Let's do Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yeah, those are your two gimmies. That's all you're going to get.
Yeah, I like that one.
All right. Back over to Fred.
All right. Columbus, Ohio.
That's a very good choice right there. Of course, Columbus, Ohio. Very good.
Right.
Scott, back to you.
Right said Fred. It's a band, isn't it, or something?
It is a band. Yeah. I can't tell you the members of that band. And neither of them are named Fred. Nope. That I do know.
Oh, really? None of them are Fred?
No. They got their name from a comedy routine or like an old British joke or something. Right, said Fred.
Yeah. I'm going to say, for some reason it just popped into my head, but I'm going to say Hartford, Connecticut.
Hartford, Connecticut. Very good. Yes.
All right.
Excellent. You think of deer when you say that?
I know. I just, oh. I don't know why I thought of Hartford. It's weird.
Back to you, Fred.
Let's see. Go with Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas. Very good. Yep.
Well, right see, there. I would have screwed that one up because I always forget that Austin's the capital. I always think it's something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would have said Dallas or Houston, probably.
Right.
I'm going to say another easy gimme here. We'll say Denver, Colorado.
Sure. Real close. A capital city close to my heart.
Yeah.
And limbs.
Literally close to your heart. Why not?
Back to Fred.
Okay. Sacramento, California.
Oh, yeah. another good tricky one, right? Because, you know, people might be tempted to say Los Angeles. They might be tempted to say San Francisco. Mm-hmm. But no, indeed, Sacramento, capital of California.
Yeah, LA is always the one I think of there. Boise, Idaho.
Boise, Idaho. Yep, of course.
Oh, you paused. I was freaking out.
That's because I've got these in alphabetical order, but I keep forgetting to look at the city name as opposed to the state name. Yeah. And I've got the city names in alphabetical order. But I keep looking, Idaho, Idaho. Oh, yeah. If I go to the other column, then I've already got them organized. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Back to you, Fred.
Drawing a blank.
I do the same thing, dude.
Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, is it
Boston, Massachusetts.
Literally the one I was going to say next.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad Fred beat you to it. Correct. Boston is the capital of Mass.
Lansing, Michigan.
Okay. Uh-oh. Very good, Scott. That was the first one that Fred said. So.
What? Oh, no. I did it again. Why did I think you didn't? I thought you did Minnesota or something, but that. Shit. But also good because you won then. Shoot! Well, did he really say Lansing, Michigan? Was that the first one he said? It was the very first
that
one he said.
That was the first one I said.
Because he's from Michigan. Gosh dang it, dude. Now I smell toast. All right, here's what you have to do. You got to send Brian an email, covervillage@gmail.com. He'll hook you up, get you all squared away, and I can be embarrassed for the next 6 days. Have a fantastic time, and thanks for playing. Oh, my gosh. That's embarrassing.
That's funny. Yeah, you managed to get 1, 2, 3, 4 answers out before you repeated the first answer that are.
You know what it is? I just, when I'm thinking that hard about states, and then I'm like, okay, he just said Massachusetts. What's another M1? Oh, Michigan. Okay, what's like? I'm playing that game in my head, and it's not paying attention to what was already said. Ah, this is the second time I've done this. What was the other time I did the names like this? What was it? It wasn't the Canada one. It was something else.
No, what was it? It was something where you like right off the.
He had said whoever or right Dunaway had said the thing.
Repeated exactly the thing that yeah. Let's see.
Oh, that was so obnoxious. I hate this about.
Did you do that with the Muppets?
Did I do it with Muppets? I might have. No, I thought I won the. Oh no, because I'd said Pepe the shrimp.
Oh, Pepe the prawn. Yes,
yeah,
right.
That was just wrong. I don't remember chat room. Do you guys remember?
Oh, I think maybe it was the FIFA World Cup teams.
Yeah, that might have been it.
I think you said Mexico twice or something.
I did something like that. Rainbow-420 says, just write down the said answer, Scott. It's not that hard to do. LOL. No, I know. I could write them down, but I'm winging it over here, okay?
And that would perfectly be acceptable, but I do like the comedy, the unintentional comedy of trying to remember. Trying to come up with new answers and remember what's been said. I think that's really funny.
That's right. We're here to entertain.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
Why, it's the morning news, and it's brought to you by...
Soundography just posted a brand new show yesterday where we look at the history and the discography of the band Third Eye Blind. What did Hammond and I think of Third Eye Blind? Did we feel like all their music sounded exactly the same? And once they came out with Semi-Charmed Life, Jumper, and Never Let You Go, they basically wrote the same songs over and over and over again. Did we feel that way? I don't know. You might have to listen and find out. It's on soundography.com.
I have a guess. I'll bet it's exactly like you just said.
Do, 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 do.
That's every song right there. Done.
That's every song.
Well, here's some news. Check this out. Put this in your cheese and smoke it.
Okay, all right.
There is a mural in Los Angeles, city we were just talking about, that only allows verified influencers to take photos in front of it, or of it.
Ugh.
Yeah, yeah, I know. This makes me want to vomit.
Exactly.
Right now on camera. So this may, let's see, where is it? A security.
Talk about a made up thing just to get attention. Because,
yeah,
we only, but it's okay if people who follow those influencers see it in their, on their feeds.
Yeah.
But we don't want them to see it live unless they're an influencer.
It really annoys me.
Oh, yeah, this is.
It's security guarded. It's a pop-up mural. It's appeared in Los Angeles and only allowed verified influencers and people with over 20,000 followers take photos in front of it. They don't say which service that you have to have 20,000 followers for. I assume Instagram. Mm. Maybe it's anything. You just go up there and say, yeah, here's my Twitter following, and they'll let you in or something. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, Vice writer Justin Caffier snapped a photo of the mural located in LA's Fairfax District. One of the photos shows a security guard standing next to the covered mural with a sign reading, "Private Mural," this is all in caps, "for verified influencers and people with over 20,000 followers only. We apologize for the inconvenience. See security staff for proof and access."
Ugh.
I'm annoyed.
Yeah.
Let's see what this looks
extremely,
like.
That's extremely annoying. It's extremely just like...
This is so 2018, dude.
It really is.
And really stupid. Okay, so there's a guy in front of it. So it's just a.
He looks thrilled too with his Daryl Waltrip 66 shirt. I don't know who Justin Caffier is.
He's a writer for Vice. Let's see. He's got a following on Twitter of.
He's only got. Let's see. I guess he's. This was liked by 17,600 people. Oh, yeah.
He has 5,623 followers. So I don't know how he got in there.
Well, he's verified, I guess.
I guess.
He's been identified as an influencer.
I see.
And he's verified.
Well, we could get in there.
Yeah, we're both verified.
Yeah, I'm verified. You're verified. I got 66.
We're taking our picture with wieners out.
That's right. Wieners out, everybody.
Take that.
It's not even a cool mural. It's just a couple of wings and a heart deal. It's stupid.
Exactly.
Oh, this annoys me.
I was influenced by Daryl's vest on The Walking Dead.
Oh, I should have said this. I forgot. We know I went to that Hall of Breakfast thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Or a Hob is what they called it for short.
The Hob, okay.
The Hob, yeah. And while we're in there, I noticed there are these model ladies. They were definitely models. Like, these were not normal ladies.
They looked like they were grown in a lab or something.
Kind of, yeah. And they weren't, it wasn't like, I don't know if you've seen like an actual fashion runway model up close. I'm not shaming anything here, but they don't. The reason that they're models is they have very distinct features that really work well in photography and video. But in person, it's kind of weird and off-putting. Like a lot of angular things with their faces and just, I don't know, it's kind of weird. But you can always know when you're hanging around somebody who would be in a fashion magazine or something. And these girls were like laying all over the different furniture things they had set up and the waffles and stuff, just doing all these poses, and they were definitely wearing clothes that were meant to be modelly clothes, you know? It was clearly just not the thing you had in your closet.
But do they have like a professional photographer with them?
They had somebody running around with them with a really nice, you know,
SLR Mark III, like, okay, something. Okay. So it wasn't like they were just, you know, some attractive people
taking
selfies on waffles.
No, it was clearly somebody was doing kind of a shoot. and my understanding is they may have been hired by the installation to do this so that when they post these photos all over the place, people go, "Ooh, look at that. I'm going to the Hall of Breakfast installation later or next week or whatever."
Good enough for her. I could certainly do it. Yeah, right. Okay.
So it kind of annoyed me, but whatever. This annoys me more because I don't get it. Like, okay, so your influencers are in front of it. What is your end game? Like, okay, he has 50,000 followers on Instagram. Whole bunch of people saw the photo of him in front of it. Now what?
Because if they didn't do that, it would be like, oh, it's a cool mural. No one would care. But the fact that it's causing this controversy and making us talk about it is exactly why.
Yeah. I think you're right.
Why he's doing that. It's like, it's less about... I only want influencers to take a picture in front of this, and more about I want the world to know I'm only allowing influencers to take a picture of this.
Then people go, "Ooh, what is it about this mural that makes him so exclusive?"
It's got such subtle feather delineation and
all I can do is make fart noises. That's all I can do. Yeah. All right. Well, there's that. That's the thing to be into, I guess, if you're into it. Speaking of art pieces, a girl was interrupted.
Okay. Was it Angelina Jolie?
No, it was not.
In a nut house?
Never saw that movie. That movie good? Is it worth seeing?
I remember seeing it on... See, here's the thing. I remember seeing it on HBO.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you if I watched Girl Interrupted or Gia. Because there was a screenshot that somebody that came up in a trivia thing, and I said, oh yeah, that's Girl Interrupted. I remember that scene.
Yeah.
And then it turned out to be Gia. And now I'm thinking the whole time I was thinking I was watching Girl Interrupted, I was watching Gia. Wasn't Winona Ryder in Girl Interrupted as well?
Yes, she was, yeah. So it's
her. Wasn't Gia? I don't know.
There were three of them. There were her, Angelina Jolie was the big one, and then some other sort of famous-ish person was in.
Was it Brittany?
Brittany Murphy.
Murphy? That's it. Okay.
Brittany Murphy before she died. So you got those three in there, and then I've never seen it. So why I know so much about it, I don't know, but I never saw Girl Interrupted.
Maybe we've all seen Girl Interrupted, and we just don't know it.
Maybe. I've never seen this Gia thing you're talking about.
Gia Interrupted. Oh, really?
Mm-mm. No, what the
hell? It was Angelina Jolie right around the same time as Girl Interrupted. I mean, I want to say it was even maybe the same year, but it was a biopic about a model named Gia.
I don't remember that at all. She was the model?
And she was the model, and she was screwed up and on drugs and
She's one of those people, by the way, that I was describing earlier. Beautiful on camera. Just the perfect face for it. Just, you know, mm-hmm. Hollywood elite looking face, whatever. Mm-hmm. You meet her in person and you feel like you're with an alien. Just angular and puffy and lippy things going on, and just to kind of, I'll bet she's very different to stand next to than she is to look at her.
Probably. Alex says the Gia was 1998, Girl Interrupted was 1999, but you know, so very close.
Oh, it's very close. Yeah. They probably filmed them maybe even at the same time, because that's how production goes. So they were probably,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Total crossover. And this would have been her, like, yo, I'm in Hackers. No one knows me. I'm doing stuff.
Right.
And then she got, she hit it real big with that Oscar. Kissed her brother on stage, gave her blood to Billy Bob Thornton, and then became an international superstar. So.
What year did Hackers come out?
95.
I don't know why I remember just a couple years after that. Well done, by the way, coming up with that just off the top of your head.
Well, sometimes my brain cooperates, and sometimes it doesn't. Like, I should have remembered Lansing, Michigan was just said, but 30 seconds earlier, as an example. Right. Anyway, so this girl.
Oh, so anyway, yeah, this whole article that just started with those two words, Girl Interrupted.
Yeah.
That
sent us off. You know, we cleared some things up. It's fine.
Yeah.
She's in this art piece and got trapped naked. London-based artist Heidi Cron.
Hildy.
Cron Hughes. Cron, how would you say Cron or Cron?
I'd say Hildy first.
Oh, Hildy. I jacked that up.
And Hildy, then I'd say Cron.
Hildy Cron Hughes. Hung helplessly. That's not part of her name.
No, but good on them for all of the alliteration with all those H's.
Yeah. Hildy Cron Hughes hung helplessly. That's hard to say. Mm-hmm. From a tree for 3.5 harrowing hours at the hands of herself, the artist
they
who
really were going for all the H's, weren't they?
They really were.
Harrowing hours at the hands of herself.
Yeah. I think that was on purpose now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
This guy's being funny. The artist, who originally is from Norway but has lived in London since she was young, decided to suspend herself from a tree with a rope in a forest near Akura, Norway, as part of a video piece for an art class. Clearly something went awry. The 26-year-old Mrs. Hughes found herself strung out in the buff, unable to free herself. The video ends with the camera shutting off, but I was there calling for help for another 30 minutes, she says. She told the Norway VG newspaper about the incident. VG video games, I think. Video game newspaper.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure that's it.
So she didn't accidentally hang herself by the foot.
No.
She accidentally didn't have a way to unhang herself. Like the hanging by the foot was intentional. The hanging by the foot naked was intentional. She just didn't have a good plan for the unhanging of her.
You got to have an exit strategy. You got to have a way out. If you don't have that in your head and you plan that, you're done. You're going to be naked by a tree. So you got to have an exit strategy.
She says, I felt sick when I saw the video for the first time. I experienced everything anew, but I slept on it and realized the video was quite decent. She's maybe a little weird.
It doesn't say, though, how she got down.
No, it doesn't.
After 3.5 hours, did she yell for help?
I want them to say how, and they don't. It says, let's see, do we have a picture of her doing anything? Yeah, there she is.
Yeah, she's naked.
This is probably safe for Twitch. I don't know.
It is. It's like a, there's no...
It's just like a person hanging. 3.5 hours
big,
like that? Oh, my gosh.
It's a big
gosh.
Pink blur is all it is.
How do you not, after that, just feel like you're going to... You can never hang
again. Oh, I know. All the blood rushing to your head and...
Yeah. Also, what's the art? I'm not sure what the art's supposed to be, but...
Yeah, I was expecting a little bit more art and a lot less just tree and grass.
Yeah. Seems like missed opportunity to do some art. I don't know. Anyway, don't do that, everybody. That's the lesson of today. Do not hang naked from a tree unless you have an exact plan for getting out of there. Here's a good one. This guy, now, this person is named Brian Ibbett, but I don't think there's any relationship.
Okay.
Just kidding.
No relation.
None at all. Drunk driver busted making a sandwich for his dog at an intersection.
What? Again, they just give you everything you could possibly want in the headline. You don't need to hear the rest of the story. Nope. It's everything you want is right there.
The rest of it's just a waste of characters. Don't
right.
Have to even tell
Drunk
us.
Driver busted making sandwich for his dog in intersection.
Yeah, it's perfect. Says a man wanted on multiple warrants. Got unlucky when the DNR busted him trying to feed a sandwich to his dog. Lucky in the middle of this Michigan intersection. According to an official, the incident occurred early June when Ben McAteer. I don't know. A conservation officer in the DNR District 5 was on patrol in Crawford County when he observed a pickup truck stopped in the middle of an intersection. Suspicious, he got closer, but the vehicle began to drive away and eventually failed to stop at a stop sign. A traffic stop was initiated, and he was able to smell the odor of intoxicants coming from the car and the driver.
Intoxicants.
Intoxicants. I don't like that word.
No.
Nope. I don't like it. I should say I could smell alcohol. How about that? According to the report, a file check of the individual revealed he had multiple warrants for his arrest, and he failed the field sobriety test and it had twice the legal limit of alcohol in his system. God. When he questioned the driver as to why he was sitting in the middle of the intersection, he stated he was, quote, making a sandwich for him and his dog Lucky, unquote. There you go. They arrested him, and he's done.
Yeah, but I like the finishing sentence here. The operator was placed under arrest for operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated. Lucky finished his sandwich and was placed in the care of a nearby family member.
Phew. The dog won this fight, I think. It's his owner who's stupid, but the dog wins as far as I'm concerned.
That's right.
I don't know. Whatever, guys. The chat room's like, not so lucky by the sounds of it. I think the dog's just fine.
Yeah.
Dog didn't suffer here. Yeah,
dog didn't end up going to jail. By the way, we have one more story right above that.
Did I skip it? Oh, my dumb browser.
It's all right.
Oh, yeah, there it is. This is a good one.
The good news is we've got time.
Yeah, plus this is a good one. I like this one.
Yeah.
I actually thought this was at the bottom of this, so I would have probably found it. But anyway, an American woman. American woman! American woman! I don't know how the rest of the song goes.
That's all. That's pretty much it.
Is that it? Okay.
Yeah. Don't come around my door. I don't want to see your shadow no more.
Oh, yeah. There you go. You got it.
A little hypnotized. Sparkle someone else's eyes. Oh, that woman.
I just thought of you yesterday because there's Kim and Carter watching a rerun of Frasier there on Netflix. And lo and behold, they're in the coffee place they're always hanging out in.
Yep. And, Cafe Nervosa.
Yeah. And then shows up one Elvis Costello.
Who, oh, really?
Yeah, spends the whole episode.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's totally weird to see that. I like him. He's funny.
That's right. He's playing himself, right? They don't recognize who he is, and he's playing himself.
Yeah,
or
he's just playing. No, I think they gave him a character name, and he was playing not him. I think he was supposed to be somebody else, I think. But he's saying Timey Kangaroo Down Sport.
Really?
Yeah, it's really weird.
That is weird because that's an Australian song and he's a British artist.
Yeah. They did this thing toward the end of that series where they started having guest stars on a lot.
Yeah. just the colors, but the actual. Yeah.
Also, I think those last couple seasons are a little rough, but whatever.
Yeah, once Niles and Daphne got together,
I agree.
It kind of took a little bit of a. It was way more fun when he was just pining after her from a distance.
That pressure meant something, right? Like it.
Yeah, it totally did.
Yeah, and it made him. I think it made him a better character because when they got together, he became way too nice and serious, and I don't know. And then they had that episode where he had to have open heart surgery, and it was all serious the whole time. It's like they wanted to be MASH, like in a very special episode of Frasier. It's like, come on, guys, be funny. That's your job, is to be funny here.
Right. We don't need a very special episode of Frasier.
Yeah. Hank Plovecraft in the chat says, sexy, sexy tension. That's it right there. All right. Anyway, an American woman flies 4,000 miles to the UK. That's the United Kingdom, people.
Okay.
To tell pal, quote, you're it, unquote, in an epic game of international tag. This is true. Wow. She immediately jetted home.
Just a publicity stunt for the new movie?
There's this new movie called Tag. I've not seen that or have any idea what it is. Is it good? What is it supposed to be? What's
no
Tag?
Idea, but the cast is great. I mean, it's got Jeremy Renner, and doesn't it have Justin Bateman? And
does it?
The guy from New Girl.
I know who
really
you mean.
Funny guy from New Girl.
Not Schmidt, the other guy. Yeah.
Right.
I like the other guy. Where's the
John Hamm is in it, yeah.
Where's the Rat and Tomatoes? Hold on.
Rat and Tomatoes. Let's
see how that thing's doing.
Jake
here.
Johnson. Thank you, Lesarge. That's what I'm trying to remember. Tag. The guy who's just one chromosome away from being Charlie Day.
Yeah.
Jake Johnson.
He's almost there. Oh, and it's what's his name's in this John or Ed Helms. Ed Helms, yeah, and John Hamm and all those guys.
And apparently no Justin Bateman.
No.
Oh, Hamm. But it looks like a movie that they probably asked him.
Yeah, you're right. I think that's funny that you thought he was, because I would have said the exact same thing without knowing.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Hannibal Buress is in it. I like him a lot. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
55. That's not great.
Oh, that's not good. Darn. No. Has it already been released?
June
15th it was released. So. Yep.
Sicario, you know, currently currently looking all right. 71% for Sicario, Day of the Soldier Monkey. What is it? Day of the Soldier. Day of the Salado. Sorry.
Day of the Salad.
They cut it off and I couldn't see it. The Leave No Trace has 100%, whatever that is. Three Identical Strangers, 95. Well, that's pretty good.
Wow.
Top box office.
I was planning on seeing that Ocean's 8 today. But we both decided that I'm still just too tired. I'm still recovering from
You'll fall asleep in there.
Ride, and I'd probably fall asleep in the middle of it.
Yeah, you just conk out right in the middle of that. You don't want that.
Yeah.
Tag currently in fifth place in the box office, so there's that. By the way, Incredibles 2 currently at second place.
Oh, did I say?
I
said Justin. I meant Jason Bateman, not Justin Bateman.
Yeah, there is no Justin.
I was thinking Justin and Justine. I don't know why I was thinking that.
I do that all the time.
Yeah,
I used to have the biggest Jason crush Bateman, on her, you. Dude. Oh my gosh, the crush I had on her
didn't
had no
who
bounds.
Who didn't love Mallory? Come on now.
Oh, it's real bad. I had no feelings for that other one. What was her name?
Tina Yothers.
Tina Yothers. Nothing at all. She did nothing for me.
Didn't, well, yeah.
I'm just assuming
she was
fine.
Like super young.
Sure.
Like she was.
Well, so
Mallory
was I.
Was roughly close to our age, and she was the one you'd date. You would all you know. Oh, I totally date Mallory.
Oh, I would date Mallory in a freaking heartbeat. She was so hot. All right, moving on. Drew McEwen was stunned when Georgina Wilkinson, disguised as a gardener, showed up at his niece's christening, posed as a gardener as Drew and his family were taking photos at Loch Lomond in southern Scotland. After flying in that morning, she tagged him and ran away laughing, then hopped on an 8-hour flight home. I think that's amazing.
Wow.
There's a video of this. I'm going to play it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
okay.
This happened. Somebody was filming. So hold on. This website is being annoying. Okay, great. Here we go. Play the video. Okay. Boy, the internet. You'd think we'd have this worked out by now.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's just, oh, geez. Okay, here we go.
Did you accept their cookies?
I did. Okay, so they're just chilling.
Sorry, guys. Could somebody tell that gardener to move?
Dad.
It's okay.
Oh,
Okay, so they're going to go tell the gardener to move.
Who's this gardener?
Kick him out at the foot. She goes over there.
Oh, no!
And then grabs her shit and runs. I love it. And this photo of her running away. Look at her. That almost looks fake.
That's hilarious. It totally does. Well,
yeah,
that's really funny.
I love it. I need more of this in my life, man.
Man, I'd love to have enough money to just fly somewhere just to tag somebody and run.
I know. Someone would have to sponsor me to do it. There's no way I'd do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's
going to pay for that. Jeez.
Jeez.
That's hilarious, wow. Though. Imagine the jet lag she's got or going to have. Anyway, it's a pretty great story, and we hope the best for them. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be joining us. There is no Bill today. Bill's on vacation. So Bill will not be joining
Let
us.
Let him enjoy his vacation, for Pete's sake. Why are all you people like all harassing poor Bill on
That's
his
right.
vacation?
Leave him alone, is what we're
Let
saying.
Him enjoy the islands.
That's right.
I don't know where he is.
I don't know where he's going either. I doubt it's an island. But here's the deal. Last week, we kind of went hard and deep on a very raucous political issue. And I think this week we're not going to do that. So if you're sitting there saying to yourselves, oh, man, I'm going to check out now if Justin's coming on, because last week, whoo, boy, that was hard to handle. Mm-hmm. Not doing that today. It's a Star Wars issue. It might still get a little heated, but only in a nerd way.
Cool.
So,
well, at least it'll
around.
Be a topic that I know something more about. So
yes.
I don't have to get all my political knowledge from you and Justin while I'm like, oh, I didn't know about this Paul Manafort.
Yeah, let me scour the internet real quick and find out what's going on.
Exactly. Let me study up before Justin gets here.
I wish I knew less. Anyway, so we're going to do that. That'll be here in a bit. And before that, though, Brian brought a little music with him, and he's going to play it now for you.
I certainly will. I've got an artist named Johnny Gates. Started out in Providence, Rhode Island. First band was a high school band, moving from passion to skill in the Providence music scene. And then he went to Nashville, Tennessee to chase the American dream. Actually, the band moved to Nashville, Tennessee to chase the American dream, worked with some of music's biggest names. Then he left Nashville and moved to Los Angeles, land of opportunity, Los Angeles. And he's toured the U.S. multiple times, including opening for Rod Stewart. He's also become a fixture at the Hotel Cafe in Hollywood and recently performed at the Rockwood Music Hall in New York and the Peppermint Club in L.A. He's been working with producer David Labrell, who also worked with Ryan Adams and Lucas Graham. Not Brian Adams, but Ryan Adams. Mm-hmm. And the beginning of this month, he released this. This is the song "Wish I Knew You." It is a relatable message of unrequited love and wanting what you can't have. It's a rock staple right there. Here is Johnny Gates and "Wish I Knew You."
Would you like to drink? How you like to kiss? What you like to do on a night like this? Who you think is cool and all your favorite tunes? And what you like to do when you're up in your room? And I just want a little taste. Yeah, I just want a little taste. I wish I knew you like he knows you. Wish I running to, and are you really leaving here with that dude? Every nightmare, every single dream, ever see yourself with a guy like me? Cause I just want a little taste.
I like Kind bars? Yes, I do. Have you ever tried a Kind bar? You might have seen them. They've been in your grocery store, your gym, your coffee shop, your local stores. Well, they make delicious, healthy snacks using whole ingredients. If you're ready to try some tasty and healthy snacks, we've got a deal for you. Try 20 of these snacks from 7 of their unique product lines with their new snack pack. Enjoy 50% off and free shipping on your first snack pack when you subscribe to it through the Snack Club, Kind's monthly snack subscription service. Go to kindsnacks.com/Scott for details. The perfect mix of Kind favorites for all your daily snacking needs. How would you like to start your day with some whole grains? Try the oats and honey with toasted coconut granola clusters. Need to snack healthy while on the go? How about that? Well, get the dark chocolate nuts and sea salt bar. I like that one a lot. Looking for plant-based protein? Take a bite of the crunchy peanut butter protein bar. That one's good. I've been eating the granola. So they got this kind of granola collection thing that I put in yogurt now. Oh, it's so good, you guys. Ugh, they're all good. Whatever. I don't think there's one I don't like, but that's my current thing. Anyway, all kinds of snacks are crafted. All these snacks you get at Kind are crafted with delicious, wholesome ingredients like nuts, fruits, whole grains. Keep your body and your taste buds happy. Visit kindsnacks.com/Scott. That's S-C-O-T-T. kindsnacks.com/Scott. Learn more and subscribe to that snack pack. We thank them for sponsoring the show.
There's never been a product quite like it. Crystal Pepsi. A whole new cola experience. A completely different kind of soft drink with a unique cola flavor. The clear choice for Pepsi, the consumer, and our customers.
Big cookies and turnovers lie flat.
The Morning Stream. Woof, 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 woof,
woof. It's always good when you get Fletcher barking for no reason.
I love that, yeah.
That's a good thing.
It's almost like a Seth MacFarlane Brian bark.
A little bit. That's true. Hey, everybody, we're back. We hope you are as ready as we are for the following good times. We're about to add our good buddy, Justin Robert Young, to the proceedings.
That's right.
And
that's right, we are.
I haven't warned him about what I'm going to do
today's
here
topic.
With this
topic.
So
we're topic. Just going to spring it on him with no...
Yeah. That's my favorite way to do it. No preparation, no
just
nothing.
Just right in.
Yep, here you go.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program. Justin Robert Young, who comes here on Tuesdays for a segment we call Jury Duty. And today's no different. Hi, Justin. Welcome back. Hello. And he's muted.
Hello, Justin.
He's muted. Mutie McMutie Mutes. Mutie McPants McMutenstein.
And then we watch him scramble for a minute, trying to figure out why his mic's not working.
No. Mutie McMutie.
Hey,
oh,
hey.
There he is.
There we go.
Discord's the best. I love Discord. Discord's great.
I like it better than Skype.
My favorite thing about Discord is when it changed from push to talk.
Does it do that without your knowledge or without your approval? Is that what's going on?
It always makes the beginning segment awesome.
Oh, and you're cutting out.
I think your sensitivity is set too high.
No, or too low. Like it's
too low. I think it's too high. Like it needs to talk louder for it to cross that sensitivity wall.
That's what I mean. So you just need to lower the wall, right?
Yeah.
So
no, still not hearing you.
All going great.
It's all right. We get it out of our system now so that later we can be fine on unfriend me. Yeah, you just go up to the how do you do this here? You do the
go to your click on your little your gear icon on the bottom there.
Your gear.
User settings, go to voice and video.
All right, wait. Hold on. Wait. What do you want me to do?
Now you're better. Now you sound better.
What is happening?
I don't
is this good?
I think you're
bad?
Okay now. No, I think
well,
you're good.
Say something low like
hey friends.
Okay, good. Yep, you're good now.
He's good.
Whatever
now.
You did, you're fine. Maybe you did nothing.
Maybe
you're fine.
No, I'm working with this very intuitive input sensitivity.
Oh yeah, turn that off. That automatically determines input sensitivity.
Do colors, because that's how I determine sound.
Yeah.
Two colors.
Are you talking in green or talking in orange? Which one is it?
Awesome.
Never talk in orange. That's DEFCON 4. Hey, Justin, it's good to have you here. And as always, it's a pleasure, our pleasure to have you here. Now, as I've said it on the show earlier, last week we took a very deep dive into some dark political territory that I don't feel like going into again. So instead,
no, let's do it. Let's
no,
go.
No.
Yeah, they upheld the travel ban.
No.
You want to talk about that? Let's
no.
talk about that.
No, except that he spent months saying it's not a travel ban, and now they're calling it a travel ban.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
Yeah, weird. Politics. So instead, I want to talk about some Star Wars stuff, specifically kind of the state of it and whether or not. So we have a couple of pieces of news here that I just think are interesting, and I want to just get your take on them. The biggest piece of news is that they are going to slow their roll on Star Wars stories. That is to say, like these Rogue One Solo deals. As far as
no
I know,
Boba
the
Fett. No Boba Fett,
Boba
no
Fett.
Obi-Wan.
Well, that I think that was a Collider report, and Disney's pushed back on that, but you would expect
okay.
that too.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's say that they don't, but I know that Solo certainly underperformed compared to what they were expecting, like a lot. So yeah. Then on the heels of that, you got this weirdo group who say they want to go and remake The Last Jedi for everybody, and all you need to do is donate to their goal of $200 million to do it.
I'm almost positive that that's an email scraper scam.
That's what... So who told me this, that you would say that? Was it Tom that told me this?
No, it was Stephen Schleicher.
Schleicher, right. He says Justin has this theory, and Schleicher was kind of agreeing that it's probably just a scam. It feels like a big sham to me. Mm-hmm. But it's also very public.
One thing that I was really hoping would happen with it didn't happen. And that is, I was really hoping, because if you go to the site, you don't actually donate money. Mm. You give them your email, and then you pledge how much you will donate eventually.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I pledged $10,000.
Of course.
So when you look at that site, you're going to see a gaudy number. I think I checked it last night. It was at like $160 million or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was very much hoping that there would be some totally garbage press outlet that would just run with that number, not bothering to check that it was a totally fraudulent figure.
Oh, I'm sure someone has. Some idiot.
No, nobody that makes me happy has, right? I mean, I'm sure somewhere on some message board somebody's run with it, but like there was a Bloomberg piece that mentioned the campaign but didn't mention the number, and that was, I think, the best shot.
Yeah.
Unless somebody can bring it to me, then I will be very, very happy if and when I see it.
So the concept, though, in general, let's say they're 100. Let's just play a scenario here where they're 100% legit. Like, this is really them, you know, wanting to.
I mean, but then
we
would have to take them seriously. Do you know what they're asking for? They want to do?
Yeah, no. I mean, I agree. It is dumb and lame, and you can't take it seriously.
No. Dumb and lame is not. that does not do justice to the sheer audacity. Let's take it as seriously as they want it to be taken.
All right.
What they are asking for is for Disney to allow them to self-finance a remake of The Last Jedi. This, I presume, would mean that they would halt production on Episode 9, which is currently being made by the most ascendant a person in Hollywood, in J.J. Abrams,
right,
who has his hands in everything and is kind of the proto Spielberg,
right?
Like very much on the production side. So he is somebody that you definitely don't want to cross. If he were just a popular director, you probably wouldn't want to cross him. I don't think that Disney in general would like to totally burn their bridge with J.J. Abrams, right? So that's what they're asking. They then, this movie, they want to make sure pleases everyone. See, that was the problem with The Last Jedi. Didn't please everyone. So they want a combination of Last Jedi haters and Last Jedi lovers to be on a collaborative writing staff that will include crowd submission. As they point out, this is your chance to write a Star Wars movie.
Huh.
You will be able to write scenes and they will be evaluated and cobbled together into the new universally popular remake of The Last Jedi.
Okay, so
yes, because when you write a movie by committee, you get you get something other than beige.
Well, yeah,
I knew you'd say that. I'm sure you know, all that bike riding, you know, your brain chemistry is all over the place. So, like, but what you don't understand is people didn't like The Last Jedi.
Mm.
Some people, many people did. Some people did not. In fact, let's say many people did not. This will be universally popular. Mm.
Everyone will like all movies before it. Like every movie before it. Sure. Like all the Star Wars movies, they've never had a dissenting opinion among them. Although I'm old enough to remember that the prequels are pretty controversial. Perhaps they could raise some funds to redo those.
No. You see, that's fake news.
Yeah.
Everyone loved the prequel.
All right.
Will we like having everybody contribute, write a scene? Are we in a scene where Luke looks at the camera and says, by the way, midichlorians are bullshit?
Yeah. Yes, please.
I mean, well, that was actually The Last Jedi. The funny thing, that might be an element. Like at the point where Luke and Yoda have a conversation and say, man, the Jedi Council's been really stupid for a long time. Let's light all of it on fire. And then a literal lightning strike happens. I feel like that they buried the prequels fairly stiffly.
Maybe they did. Okay.
Yeah, it feels like they probably did. So, all right. All that said, it's about as seriously as I can take this group. But I do
well,
have
a... look, but if you were going to look at it like that,
yeah,
right? What is more likely that this is a very serious proposal put forth by very serious producers in Hollywood who say that they will self-finance every stitch of this and really they are only looking for matching funds so they can make this worth Disney's while? Or is this Google form put on a website literally just an email scraping exercise so they can sell emails to the highest?
I didn't realize it was just a Google form. I never got that
far. It's a Google form with a totally arbitrary, you don't have to prove that you were going to spend any amount of money. You literally, I just put in, hey, I'm going to put in for $10,000. And they're like, awesome, we're putting it on the board.
Yeah, but how is this even a scam if they aren't getting any real money anyway? Like, what's the end game for the scam?
They just want emails. They sell the emails to people who buy email lists.
Yeah. What'd you give them? What email did you give them?
I gave them one of those, like, Google. Like, you know, you can put pluses.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
So it was Justin Robert Young plus what is this shit?
I like
gmail.yahoo.net is the email.
Because they don't, if it's a Google form, if it's a Google form, they don't do any kind of verification. So you could put anything. I usually put chode@chode.chode.
Yeah.
No, oh, so that's you who's been leaving me all those 1-star reviews on iTunes.
That's right.
In fact, go ahead right now, Scott, and go pledge $10,000 in the name of chode@chode.chode.
What's the website? Do you know it offhand?
RemakeTheLastJedi.com.
The Last Jedi. Somebody somewhere is super jazzed about this in a very unironic way. Someone thinks this is really going to be the thing. Oh yeah, look at this great web design. This is beautiful.
A actual person, or like a person you know, or just like the person, the person on the internet we all loathe.
Oh my gosh, it is a Google form.
It's a Google.
I thought you were maybe kidding. Okay, so, all right, I'm going to do it. Here we go.
Which
pledge
is a
campaign.
Technology that producers, the most successful Hollywood producers all use is Google.
Well, when you're dealing with a powerhouse like Disney that has a $1 billion property that is like continuing to be a tentpole to their many, many, many stockholders. Also, they're in the middle of a bidding war that could determine the future of their company that is now reached into the $70 billion range. Yeah, you're right. This is, you know, I'll tell you what, clear the books. Kathleen Kennedy's got some real sticky wickets on her hands, man. She's got to consider this big money proposal.
Well, I just did a from chode.chode. I had to do .com because it was rejecting anything that wasn't an actual domain extension these days. So
the chode TLD just hasn't made it through the has not made it yet. Has not successfully
done. Exactly. So yeah. I did $10,000 under the name chode@chode.com.
Yeah.
It has added it to the now pledged total of $273,539. I'm sorry, $273 million. Excuse me.
There we go.
$273,539,960. So legit as F.
Yeah.
It looks like. There's a video here. What's this video? What do they say
here?
Oh,
it's a stupid video. It's basically like the last scene from Force Awakens, but instead Rian Johnson handing a remake script to George Lucas.
Well, it is very poorly edited. Let me skip ahead here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like flashy animation.
Sam, this is weird because I knew, and when we talked about this on Monday, I knew that there were a lot of people who didn't like Force Awakens. I didn't realize there was so much hate for The Last Jedi. I thought that one was a lot more, you know, people enjoyed that a lot more.
Oh, no. Total opposite.
Last Jedi, I think, got more of a vociferous anger.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, it was bad.
I mean, I don't know. To be honest, I can understand why some of the anger came in. It just ran counter to what I found the most exciting about The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I mean, not that we need to litigate that. Hey, is anybody mad about The Last Jedi? I'm looking for opinions. Please hit me up at Justin.
Yeah, let's take this to the street. All right. Bottom line for me about this whole thing is it's more of a broader question. Let's take fan toxicity out of it for a second and just talk about.
Let's just all understand The Last Jedi is the best Star Wars movie, and everybody who disagrees, go ahead and hit me up.
Yeah, hit up Justin R. Young on Twitter.
Because I don't think I haven't found anybody on the internet. I haven't. I don't think they're.
You don't think they're real, do you? They're all bots. No. All of them. No, beep boop beep.
I think they're all some run out of a server.
Yeah. Beep boop beep. They say. All right. So, but the broader question: Star Wars as its future. Is its future as shiny as one would hope? Because I get the feeling, purely my own feeling and opinion, everybody, so just don't take this as me broadly telling you all how to feel. But I get the feeling that maybe Star Wars is already hitting a saturation point and they need to slow it because it doesn't have the kind of legs that the extended MCU does with so many characters, so many possibilities, so many crossovers. I think Star Wars has by its nature, a more limited range, and because they're so careful with it, it even limits that range even further. They're not willing to take it into places that are a little bit odd. They're not going to make a Deadpool. They're not going to do these other things. So
I agree with your second point. I disagree very, very, very much with the first point.
You don't think we're saturated already with Star Wars? Because it feels
saturated with bad Star Wars.
But
good movies you want to see more of, bad movies you want to see less of. Why is the Marvel Cinematic Universe a money factory?
Because
they realize that
movies.
There's a brand to Ant-Man. Ant-Man is funny heists with likable characters that have very inventive, you're not going to see them anywhere else, action sequences that involve people getting very big and very small very fast, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're going to see. The first movie was a surprise because it was a fun, airy, breezy delight that had that. Now we get that bigger, better in a sequel. We have identifiable good things that we want to see. What?
I agree.
I think the problem with Star Wars is that number one, every one of their, both of their story things are heist movies. So it's like, we're not really even getting different versions of stuff. We haven't gotten the Star Wars Western. We haven't gotten the Star Wars detective movie. We haven't gotten the Star Wars gangster movie, right? We got two heist movies that were all about the team getting together and arguing and then coming together at the last moment and doing the thing, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's a narrative problem. Also, I think that, look, when you hew too closely to these things because that's the easiest way to sell toys, you miss out on Rocket Raccoon and Groot, right? Like, you miss out on the toys that we really want to buy because we're just getting excited about them. for the easy cash grab of making another Han Solo toy, making another Lando toy, or another Darth Vader toy like in Rogue One. So
yeah.
Beyond my problems with those movies, I think that there is a great treasure trove in just Tales from Jabba's Canteen.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your mobster movie's just waiting to get made.
Yeah, and there's a tremendous thing of just telling another random story, and that allegedly is where they want to focus more on. Two original things being pushed forward. Number one, Rian Johnson, they want to do an original trilogy with him, or that's announced. Then Benioff and Weiss from Game of Thrones are allegedly going to do an original thing.
Yeah, now, they're all signed up and ready to roll.
Are you ready for the big, bold prediction?
Yeah, give me your big, bold prediction. By the way, let me give you a quick retro on this, though. Everything you said, I completely agree with. That was more my point, that it's not too much Star Wars. It's too much mediocre Star Wars. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Kathleen Kennedy runs Star Wars right now.
Yeah.
Kathleen Kennedy has fired or effectively locked out of the production 4 directors, if you count Lord and Miller as 2.
Yeah.
That has led to 2 massive reshoots on the 2 movies that are not basically run kind of top down, the big crown jewels. Like, so 7 and 8 have gone without a hitch, but they fired Josh Trank before he even went forward. They fired Colin Trevorrow for episode 9 before he even started. So actually it's 5. They locked out Gareth Edwards from Rogue One, and they fired Lord Miller during Solo.
Right.
You can say, just looking at that, before you even get to box office, that there are some organizational problems. There seem to be consistent patterns that are costing the company more money and possibly providing less cohesive stuff. Comparatively, right. The Marvel Cinematic Universe has fired 1 director, and then, I mean, technically, I guess, like, Patty Jenkins came close to directing Thor 2, and then she wound up leaving. But besides that, it was Edgar Wright for Ant-Man, and that happened fairly early on in the process, although it was close enough that it became traumatic, and he wound up still getting story credit and stuff.
Right. It was still pre-production, though. I mean, it wasn't pre-writing and all that, but it was.
I mean, it certainly wasn't filmed halfway through the production like Lord and Miller was.
Right. Yeah.
So, what if, as episode 9 gets further into production, it is time for Kathleen Kennedy to start focusing on her passion projects, and maybe, you know, it's time for a graceful exit for Kathleen.
Who's the heir apparent? Who's the heir to the Empire?
Who comes in?
Yeah.
Good question. Who has a history of dealing with highly revered source material and making it better and more visible and loved than it was before? Who? Who has, for the last 8 years, run massive shoots on multiple continents that had to look very, very carefully at the budgets and getting the max out of what they were able to do?
George Miller. You said Max. George Miller. He's done things all over, and you said Max. No?
Who created stars? Created stars so much so that those stars have now come to star in the Star Wars movie.
J.J. Abrams?
I'm shocked no one's got it.
Okay, hold
on. Who's already under contract to do Star Wars?
I don't know.
Wow, I'm amazed that I'm not figuring this out either.
Yeah, I have no idea who that is. Who is it?
Benioff and White.
Oh, those guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Showrun.
All right, sure. Let them run it. That's fine. I don't care. That'd be great. Will we get more nudity, more man wiener in our Star Wars?
I don't think that's necessarily what they would go for, but I do think that, look, for what really matters.
No weddings.
Like,
no weddings. Sorry. That's a good rag. You know, I thought they had wrung the red wedding joke rag out completely out of any liquid.
No, but the wedding jokes are back because Jon Snow and Ygritte got married.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
All the wedding jokes came back.
Yeah. He said, it's our honeymoon. Can we do it now? And she says, you know nothing, Jon Snow. Well, anyway.
Yeah, no, they're honeymooning in a cave.
Yeah. Forgot about that. Anyway, do you think they're the shining knights who can
this
come in?
This is the take that I have stolen from Andrew May. But I would, if Kathleen Kennedy is to leave, I would think that they would be, because really what you're looking for is Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Who's the new Kevin Feige? Who's the guy that like isn't about super micromanaging? He's about building a larger organization that's empowering writers and empowering directors.
Right.
Everybody that comes out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, except for Edgar Wright, generally speaks very, very highly about, and I've heard some stuff from inside, that it's like, look, they are very particular about rewriting and rewriting and rewriting, almost kind of Pixar-esque.
Yeah.
But they feel confident in why they do it. They feel confident in once the script is there, they want an original vision from their director. And people like working with them.
Yeah.
So I think if you're looking at that, you know, Benioff and Weiss have created hell. The Alan Horn name was, or Simon Taylor, I can't remember his name, but he was a Game of Thrones director that directed Thor 2. Now, granted, Thor 2 was the best, but they're creating like that level of talent out of that show.
Right.
Right. They're creating Emilia Clarke. That is starring in Solo because now she's a star because they created her on the show.
Yeah.
Like they are people that I think have the organizational talent that I think Disney kind of want. They want stability.
Yeah.
And the big complaint, you know, the thing that I know some George R. R. Martin fans of the books who hate what Benioff and Weiss have done with Game of Thrones, not focusing on certain characters that were focused on in the books and had great storylines in the books, and said, oh yeah, and they just completely disregarded this and that. This would be a way for them to start with source material that is not based on, you know, it's based on a universe, but not an existing story that they have to somehow convert into a movie.
I mean, even I agree, even though they, I mean, there's no way they escape that criticism just because you can't. And even in this case, they won't be able to, but you're right in that it's potentially more fertile ground to work in. If Disney will let them, and if it's Kathleen Kennedy that's the big blockage in the colon there, and if she's not there, that's a better metaphor needed.
Sure.
But if it's her style that's cramping this, then in theory that could, some of that would go away and they'd have more freedom, and I don't know.
Well, I think that no matter what, whether it's Kathleen Kennedy or somebody else along the line, there seems to be a lot of chaos where they don't exactly know where they're going, and they panic at the 11th hour and make decisions that they, I don't know if they benefit, you know, the end result.
Right.
I don't know if the version of Rogue One that was going to happen would have been better than the one that happened, right? I don't know if the version of Solo that happened would have been better than the one that happened. I do know that when you fire five directors in 5 years that you've run the franchise, like that seems to be something that maybe you're not picking them correctly initially, right?
Yeah.
Like I don't know what it is. That just seems to be a red flag from me, a dick face who talks on the internet.
That's why all our shows aren't called And Now Dick Face Who Talks on the Internet Live on the internet. All right, well, this has all been good. I think we've solved Star Wars problems forever. Let's look forward, not back, to a special one-off we're doing today of our regular show, Unfriend Me. You thought we were going to do a big topic that would change your life, but no. We are going to look at a completely spoiled-filled deconstruction and whatever we're going to do today for Westworld Season 2. It ended.
I know. And you already went out and hoard out your opinion to Garrett and Joss.
Well, they invited me a while ago. It's okay though, because we have way more listeners than they do, like a ton.
And he's gonna go ahead and he's gonna change his opinion. He's gonna do a completely different opinion for your show for Unfriend Me.
No,
I didn't listen to it though.
Unspoiler me.
I didn't want to prejudice myself. I will say that my stance on the show has softened.
Oh, that's interesting. I was expecting a whole lot of, neither of us are going to have, I think we're not going to be 100% glowing about anything, but that's why this is going to be fun. We're going to be in some places maybe we didn't expect to be, and then we take your calls. So the bottom line is, if you are wanting to talk about that thing and get some stuff off your chest, it's the perfect opportunity. If you haven't seen the season and you're planning on it and you don't want any of the spoiler talk, this is a bad episode for you to watch.
Yeah,
live.
This is not an episode I'm going to be listening to, having not seen even the first episode of season two yet. We were waiting for it to finish up. We're waiting to finish up the current season of Homeland that we're binging, and then we're hitting Westworld season two.
Yeah, that'd be very.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting. I will say that if we had done this podcast right after hour and a half finale wrapped up,
yeah.
A finale that I stopped watching in the middle of just so I could go to Twitter because I was so angry. I then finished the show even angrier.
Yeah.
It would have been a hallmark of violent delight, verbal violent delights that I would have lobbed at that show. However, I have softened a little bit. I still think that I am, that there's going to be some. Hugely.
Well, we're gonna discuss all of that. I'll say this as a little tease. This season contains my favorite hour of television in 2018. I won't tell you what episode.
Oh yeah, baseline, I think it was better than season.
Oh yeah, but also this one episode blew my mind, and also some stuff I learned about it after equally blew my mind. So We'll talk about all that. That's coming up 1 o'clock here on the stream, frogpants.tv. That's Mountain Time, 12 noon if you're in the Pacific time zone. And 2 p.m., nope, 3 p.m. if you live over there in the Eastern time zone. Justin, anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
Yeah, freepoliticalnewsletter.com. If you want to go ahead and sign up for my free political newsletter, it's free. It's political. It's a newsletter.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
That bastard.
Wow.
He got
That's
me.
That's the best one so far.
He totally got me. How do I remove him from this group, though? Because I don't want him in here now.
Because he could pop in anytime and come back and drop the mic again.
He totally could. That bastard. All right. That's going to do what it's going to do. We're done. We do have a quick email to read, though. This came to us from Steve Lamb. Lamb sounds good right now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Especially some Steve Lamb.
Did you go to, did you do Culver's or no?
I did do Culver's yesterday, and I forgot to bring it up. I got to say, their chocolate shake?
Yeah.
Adequate.
It's okay. Just not, nothing special.
Had a Butterburger Deluxe, a one-patty Butterburger Deluxe.
Yeah.
I love their crinkle-cut fries. Didn't know they did that.
Yeah. I like crinkle-cut.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
The burger is decent, good times, Dairy Queen Brazier level cheeseburger.
Okay.
Nothing extraordinary. And the chocolate shake, nothing extraordinary. So I'm still putting Chick-fil-A and Freddy's on top. And they're two very different chocolate shakes. One is a dark chocolate flavor shake, like a cold hot chocolate.
Yeah.
The other one is a traditional chocolate shake that's just creamy and wonderful.
Okay. Well, there you go. Culver's down. Another one down. We're going to keep moving our way through these until we find the perfect shake. So far,
right.
Chick-fil-A, you're kind of ruling the roost.
Kind of. If we were comparing non-chocolate shakes and that peach shake was in there, I'd say winner chicken dinner right there. Yeah. That peach shake at
It would literally
Chick-fil-A.
Be chicken dinner there as well.
It really would, yes. Yeah. Winner Chick-fil-A dinner.
Also, I assume there's a little chicken in all their shakes. So just
yeah, a little bit, yes. Yeah.
It's kind of like going to an IHOP. Pretty much going to be syrup in anything you buy there.
Including like the silverware and
everything, your clothes when you leave, all of it. This email came to us, and we do have a mashup we're going to play after this, so stay tuned for that. Steve Lamb wrote in, says, "Hi, Scott and Brian. I'm wondering if you guys have had a chance to check out Goliath Season 2 on Amazon Prime. I think it is really good. Bloody but well acted with Billy Bob Thornton. Similar to Fargo, Saul, and Ozark. If you get a chance, check out season one first. Thanks. I watched and loved season one of Goliath. Yeah, I thought it was amazing.
As did I. Yeah.
I am a huge... I think Billy Bob Thornton's kind of a nutbag in real life, but I rarely dislike stuff he's in. I love him in everything.
Yeah.
I think he's really interesting as an actor. And I really like Goliath season one. I am absolutely going to be watching two right after I binge The Expanse, which I did. Like Brian, I waited till the season was close to over before I start jumping in. So I'm going to tear into that first.
I'm kind of all in on this whole binge society. Like, we haven't watched any of The Handmaid's Tale. The only problem you run into with these binging, wait to binge, mm-hmm. is the fear of spoilers. Mm-hmm. And I've been super lucky with Westworld. I don't know anything about this season. Mm. I know, you know, I've seen pictures of a Native American dude, but I think we might have seen him. We did see him in the first season, so it's not really a spoiler.
Yeah, he was in there. He was also in, he was in a scene in the first season where he was just a dude in a suit.
Yeah,
out
right.
in the world or whatever. So, yeah, there's, yeah, you've stayed clean.
I've stayed clean, and I've managed to stay clean with Handmaid's Tale. I'm looking forward to all the catching up on all this stuff.
Handmaid's Tale.
Season two. I think we'll be another one. I think we'll wedge all three of those in before we go to season four of Homeland. So
there
we've
you
got
go. Nice
five episodes of Homeland to finish for the current season.
Perfect.
Then boom.
Well, I'm caught up on the Handmaid's Tale there. I think that may be the most important show on TV, if not one of the best. Ooh. It's so good. I mean, if I'm adding it all up this year and saying what TV show that I think was the best show that's being in production right now, I think it's probably mm-hmm. Handmaid's Tale. It's really good.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, you'll like season two, I think.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that tremendously too, man. It's both heartbreaking and brilliant, and
truly really well done.
So well acted. Yeah.
Everybody's good in it. Even the terrible people are kind of great in it.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, so there you go, Steve. We will be checking that out. All right, quick mashup. We actually have TMS mashups in the chat today, so it's nice to have him here. Oh, yeah. Hi, Jamie. We're gonna play this mashup you sent from episodes 1508 to 1511. Why Do I Have This Boner is the name of the file.
Oh, God, okay.
Here it is.
Do you, Larry, take these clucks and fries to have and to hold?
Do we have a fishman? Good, I need to have fishman and everything. Then a guy with church on his head, like a regular head, but I want it to have an ornate church on the top. Give me a creepy monster guy with no eyes. I need to have no eye creepy guy in every movie too, like fishman.
Three or four uses of shit, one use of dick, one use of damn, and one adult term, gang bang.
You may meet me and go and never want to talk to me again. His name is Persiapan Luella.
He's been a friend of our family's for years.
Yeah, he snipped
cut
my wiener.
Noodle off, and he also
we went to the
I
same
don't know
place.
Churchy stuff.
No, but we both went to circumcision, which makes me laugh.
Yeah,
I didn't like this movie because it didn't come with any deleted scenes.
I'm useless until I get my first cup of coffee.
I like a good hobo, you know that. Here's what I want to do. I want to take a stapler and I want to put three staples in his scrotum. One, two, three. Kagink, kagink, kagink. That holds down one of his testicles. And then I want to take a ball peen hammer and I want to smack that thing so hard that it pops like a grape and hits another guard right in the eye. That's what I want.
You left Jerry speechless.
Yeah, I'm a little shocked that you're
what f***ing show is that?
I'm leaving. I'm going away and I'm not coming back.
City administration.
Shut up, you donkey.
He's not going to
What kind of sandwich are you?
I'm an idiot sandwich. Darn right.
If I'm in a restaurant and some big football playing looking dude is sitting in the booth ahead of me and I glance up and look at him and I don't think anything of it. I look back down, look at my phone, wait for the waiter. His boyfriend comes in. They share a kiss, sit down and hold hands and start talking. My first reaction is, oh.
Why do I have this boner?
That wasn't where I was going. That wasn't where I was going.
I'm sorry.
He cheated. He used a line from Unfriend Me a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, and from FilmSack, that whole intro thing. Guillermo del Taco for.
I forgot when that happened. This and FilmSack always bleed together. I never know when.
That's
the hell
all right.
We said
and you know what? That's totally fine because. If you want to hear more of Brian's Guillermo del Toro accent that turns into a Russian guy,
mm-hmm.
then go listen to FilmSack where we talk about Hellboy 2.
Yeah, his intro was something else. That's it. Thank you for that, Jamie. And if you want to follow Jamie and his happenings on Twitter, TMS Mashups is the account. Don't forget to vote on today's episode. Everybody watching live, frogpants.showbot.tv. You'll see a link in there in the chat because Jeannie is on it. Mm-hmm. And you can find us on the web at frogpants.com/TMS. Do not forget, we need your help over at patreon.com/TMS. Sometime before the end of June, I don't know when we're sneaking this in, but we're going to do another little piece of original content. Some of that might involve something from Jamie. That no one else will get unless you're on Patreon. So that's the thing. Also, email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. And as always, on Twitter, you can find Brian at Coverville, me at Scott Johnson, and the show at Morning Stream. All right, Brian, let's lay down a hot track, or a lick, as the kids say.
Some hot licks.
Yeah, yeah.
Some riffs. Sure. Excuse me. Coffee. Repeating. On me. Lisa Marie wrote in.
Oh.
It's a...
Presley, eh? All right. This is great. That's go ahead.
It said, hello, boys. I wanted to ask if you could honor my own personal Superman on his birthday. He has been listening to TMS forever and recently shared your gem of a show with me. I love it, all caps. We often listen while working to keep our sanity. I've known Clark for 12 years, and we've developed the closest love and friendship over so many things. He makes everything so much fun, whether we're working or ghost hunting or just grocery shopping. I want to see you do all three together. I want to see you go ghost hunting in the grocery store.
I love it.
Everything is an adventure. Clark helped bring me out of a dark place and supported me while I regained my strength. And while he is my rock, he rarely ever asks for anything from anyone. I'm looking for ways to show him how incredibly awesome he is by being the cheerleader he always should have had. We are quite the team, me and Clark. I try to find little ways to show my endless appreciation and love, and I know he would be thrilled if Brian could find a cover of one of his favorite bands, Metallica. Anyway, thanks for giving me and Clark an entertaining outlet to relieve our stress and plenty of laughs along the way. Don't stop frog pantsing. Thanks again. Signed, Lisa Marie.
Nice.
Aw. You guys are sweet.
That is sweet.
And yes... And I do have Metallica is another band that gets covered a lot. So always cool when somebody requests something that I can play that I haven't played before. For example, this cover of Enter Sandman by the band Art Versus Science. This actually came out 2 years ago as part of the Triple J Like a Version 12 series. There, man, I love that series of albums. The only, if I had any complaint, it's that sometimes they cover bands that haven't quite made it across the pond. So UK bands, songs that I'm unfamiliar with, and it's bands doing covers of them. It's like, oh, well, that's a good song. Don't know what the original sounds like, but whatever. But it's almost always a really, really good album, a really good double disc set. New one should be coming out soon, too. This is Art Versus Science covering Metallica's Enter Sandman.
We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Say your prayers, little one, don't forget my son, to include everyone. I tuck you in, warm within, keep you free from sin, till the Sandman he comes. Sleep with one eye open, creep in your pillow tight.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Can you smell it?
You know what? It's amazing what like a robot voice will do for a song.